Lord, you say heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will not. I thank you for it. Always. Amen. Just thinking of this week, started thinking, you know, about my life and how the Lord has used things and a particular situation. A friend of mine where it was almost like the Lord orchestrated a situation to kind of expose something in this brother and friend in order to get to this place and to speak into this area and expose it, lack of better words. It's always about, in our journey, it's always about our heart. You know, God is always dealing with our heart and getting to our heart. It's always about relationship with Him. It's not about, we know that, it's not about knowing Scripture or the Word or preaching the Word or getting, you know, whatever. It's about relationship. And the Lord would go to extremes in our lives to expose things. Even with me, I was thinking about early on in my first round with, when I was dealing with migraines in a different, actually a different area of my head, when it was exposed, my fear of dying or fear of death kind of got exposed there. Now, I would have told you before that, I'm cool. I'm not afraid of death. You know, I'm going to heaven, until I was faced with this reality that I really thought I was going to die. And there was something else that came up out of me that was not faith. And so I was thinking about in the story of our beloved Peter, which we did a study on all the apostles, the 12 apostles, and that guy there, I mean, 90% of a name of the 12 apostles, when a name is used in Scripture in all the four Gospels, was Peter's. I mean, how the Lord was, Peter, you know, said, "You are the Christ," this Peter there, he'd walked on the water, you know, just on and on and on. So it was really, his name is there. His life is just amazing. I never did really even realize that. But this is the story of, which is familiar, about when Jesus told him that he would, before the rooster crowed, he would deny him three times. Now there's actually, it seems as though there were three different conversations that they had. And two of the Gospels are almost alike. Right after the upper room discourse and the Lord's Supper, they call it, or communion, you know, when they went out to the Mount of Olives, that's when they had this conversation. And Jesus was saying, "I will go ahead of you." And Peter said to him, Jesus says to them, "All of you are going to fall away from me." And it is written, and he reads this Old Testament scripture about this, when the shepherd went down, the sheep scattered. "But after I've been raised, I will go ahead of you." Then Peter said to him, "Even though all will fall away because of you, I will never fall away." Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And Peter responds back to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And all the disciples all said the same thing, you know. They joined in with him. "No, we're not." So that was interesting how in this Matthew's version, how when Jesus said this, Peter comes back to Jesus and says, "You're wrong. I won't. There's no way." Mark's is very similar. When they went out to the Mount of Olives, Jesus said to them, "You know, all of you will fall away." And then Peter said, "Even though all will fall away," kind of the same story. This is actually Peter's version that John Mark wrote. "Even though all may fall away, I will not," Peter said to him. And Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you, again, before this rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." But Peter kept saying insistently, meaning he kept saying over and over again, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And all of them were saying again the same thing. So insistently saying means that he was saying it over and over. He just kept on saying it, you know. As you can just see kind of Jesus walking, and Peter was just right beside him and just kept on saying, "You got this one wrong, Jesus. You know, I know you're the Messiah, the Son of God, but you kind of missed this one. There's no way." In John's, and both in Luke, they're at the table, and they're partaking of the communion, the Lord's Supper. And right after the one in John, right after he had washed their feet, and he was telling them, "A new commandment that I give you, that you love one another, even as I've loved you, that you also love one another. And by this, all men will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. Then Simon said to him, Lord, where are you going? He says, where I go, you cannot follow me, but afterwards you will. Then Peter says to him, Lord, why can I not follow you right now? And Peter said, why can't I follow you right now? Jesus, don't you know I'll lay my life down for you? Then Jesus answered him again. So it's a different conversation he's having with him. Will you lay your life down for me? Again, I say to you that a rooster will not crow before you deny me three times. So, and then we have it here again, that there was a dispute that rose among them while they were there at this table. They were arguing. A dispute as to which regarded which one of them was going to be the greatest. Jesus said to him, you know, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who have authority over them are called benefactors. It is not this way with you. The one who is the greatest among you must become like the youngest and the leader of the servant. For who is greater, the one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I am among you as the one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials. Just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, I'm going to grant it to you, that you all may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on these thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So he's have this is a total different conversation. Wasn't the one about, hey, where you're going, I can come. It wasn't the one about once they departed and went to the Mount of Olives. This is a different conversation they're having while they're at the table, you know, before the night, the whole upper room discourse. They were in argument over who was going to be the greatest. And then when Jesus tells them this, that you're going to be sitting on these 12 thrones judging, you know, that you're going to be great in my kingdom, Jesus kind of leans over to Peter. And this is when he says to him, hey, Peter, again, Satan has asked my permission to sift you like wheat, right? And Satan probably didn't say, hey, can I sift him like wheat? Satan probably said, can I go after him? Jesus said, you know, yes. But he said, I prayed for you that your faith may not fail you. But when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. And then here comes Peter again. Lord, he said to him, Lord, with you I'm ready to go both to prison and to death. And he tells Peter again, the rooster will not crow today before you have denied me three times. So just to give you a little more insight on here, it wasn't just four different versions of the same exact thing that happened. This is three different conversations that he's having with Peter. And then, and when this one, when Luke records where, you know, he actually leaned over and said, Peter, you know, Satan's actually asked permission to go after you, you know, I've told him yes. You know, I'm pretty sure Peter was like, he said, of course you said no, right? But he didn't. And he said these encouraging words, which I really believe was brought back to Peter's mind after he did this. Because he said, I prayed for you, I've covered you, and when you return, I want you to strengthen your brothers with what you've learned. And so, of course, we know the story that the enemy really used, probably was indwelling that girl or different people that was just kind of, hey, you're one of them, you know. And Peter finds himself, fear just rising up in him, and then, you know, lying and cursing and all these kind of things. It wasn't about what he said. It was about what was going on in his heart that God wanted to get to, right? Wanted to just get to a deeper place and probably so many different things that he did, not one thing. But definitely he was creating humility in him where this man who was very, you know, he was the one who would go for it, you know, probably was still like that the rest of his life. But there was just this pride issue that Jesus wanted to get to within him. And his self-reliance and his whatever. There's just all the kind of things we could probably put there. One day we'll be able to talk to Peter and ask him about this story. And he'll probably be glad to share with all of us everything that the Lord did in him. He definitely came out of there encouraging others with a whole different view, right? After denying Jesus, of course, Jesus walks by him and looks at him. Whatever that look was, just wrecked him big time, you know, which I think was a look of, I know you're going to do this and I still love you. Then, of course, the next time they see Jesus and interacting, Jesus, they're all out fishing. Jesus on the beach there cooking some fish. John recognizes him. Peter strips. He's in the water, and he's going, you know, going to, and then they have a conversation. And in that conversation, when Jesus is asking him, hey, Peter, do you love me? You know, every time he said, do you love me, he was saying to Peter the first two times, Peter, do you love me with imperfect love? You know, and Peter's like, oh, yes, Lord, you know, I love you. You know, do you love me, Peter? Do you love me, Peter? You know, and I think it was two. Let me turn that real quick, because when he was asking him this, here he was trying to get into this thing. Yeah, the first two times he said, do you love me with perfect love? Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. The answer back to him, Lord, you know I love you with imperfect love. He said, Peter, do you love me with perfect love? Then he answered him, Lord, you know I love you with imperfect love. And then the third time, Jesus said, hey, Peter, do you love me with imperfect love? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know, you got me, you know. That his love, even though imperfect, Jesus really accepted that. So you're seeing here that Jesus kind of even used the enemy, using situations to get to a place in Peter that he really needed to break. You know, as David said in Psalm 139, Lord, search me and try me. And the whole searching and try me are there to see if there's anything in me that's hurting me. See if there's any way within me that's blocking and hindering me from being able to receive your love and these wonderful things you're saying about me. With Peter here, it was that Peter thought he had just the most perfect love. He loved God more than anybody else, more than the other 12 guys. You know, he was the one he could count on. If everybody else failed, he had such love for God that it would be a monumental, be written about throughout the ages. And then he found out that he didn't, you know. And that just really, I think, changed him from the rest of his life. Saying all that to say, you know, that's the reason it's so important when situations and circumstances are going on in our lives, that we are, it can seem puzzling sometimes for the Lord to say, in all things give thanks, you know, and to trust him within that, because once we start down that road, thanking the Lord for the situation, then it's much easier for him to expose within us this place he's trying to get to, right? But if we just spend our whole time just griping and complaining and, you know, walking in fear and dread, we talked about that at our Bible study last night, of dread. You know, David said, Lord, save me from dread of the enemy. Dread is just an expression of fear. When we dread situations, we dread things through the day, or we're dreading something happens. Sometimes the Lord just allows things to happen, so he really wants to get that dread out of you. Because that dread is just unbelief, right? So with my friend, I was thinking about that, and I really saw a real change happen to where the dread turned into thanksgiving and praise. The dread turned into victory. The sifting that was going on in his life, it's like the Lord really got to that, you know. So we all love him. He all loves us. We all love with imperfect love. He loves that about us. But always know that it's about the heart. It's always about your heart. And getting to those places in your heart where he can pave pave the highway of your heart, where now you're walking in this place and victory and praise is coming out of our mouths with Peter, and just like with Peter. So, well, let's stand.